Let the church say amen. Welcome to Blessed Hope Bible Church, everybody. God's blessings be upon you and on your family this morning. Amen and amen. I have purposely chosen this series looking at the miracles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because these miracles tell us something about Jesus, and it shows us how our relationship with him can get stronger if you are already a Christian. And if you are not a Christian, encourage you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm talking about the Jesus of the Bible. Now, this morning, I hope to speak to somebody's heart. I know this spoke to my heart. I hope to speak to somebody's heart. We're going to talk about when Jesus healed the widow. Actually, he raised the widow of Nain's son from the dead. And in doing so, Jesus shows us that he and he alone can give us hope in spite of whatever despair you are facing in your life. That's why I entitled this message, Despair Meeting Hope. Somebody say that with me. Despair, meeting hope. And this is coming from the miracle of raising the widow of Nain's son from the dead. Let me begin by reading the passage. The passage is in the Gospel of Luke. It's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, and it begins with verse 11. That's where you find the miracle. Luke chapter 7, you can almost say 7-11. Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 11. And here's how the passage reads. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." He who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. Boy, I tell you, what happens if you went to a funeral like that, huh? You probably don't want to, you'd probably be scared to go to another one, wouldn't you? Let me share with you what we got here. All of us, you, me, all of us have come across situations in our lives where we feel hopeless. Y'all understand what I'm saying to you? When we see people like that, we shake our heads and hope that it don't happen to us. But even those of us who are Christians, those of us who say we have put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes there comes a point in our lives and we feel there's no way out for us. There's no hope. Now, of course, if you're a Christian, you should know better, right? You ought to know that you always have hope. You ought to know that Jesus is with you and he will never forsake you. He will never leave you. And you ought to know if you're a Christian that one day you're going to see Jesus. Amen? But every now and then things happen and things pile up on us and we feel hopeless. We feel that the Lord is not with us. We feel that the Lord has forgotten us. And then we panic. And many of us, we do things that may necessarily be foolish. Now, the dictionary defines despair as the complete loss or absence of hope. When you hit despair, it means you have lost hope. And, that means your life doesn't, and as you're going through the meal and it looks like nothing is going to change in your life. It's going to be same old every day. I have nothing to look forward to but this. I hope that that is not like any of you in here. But if there is someone in here today and you feel hopeless and you feel that you are trapped and you feel that there's no way out for you, I hope that this story will give you some hope this morning. Amen. Now, I got this little saying on the internet. Somebody once said this, and I paid attention and I thought about it. Losing your life, they said. Losing your life, and we think losing your life is the worst thing, but my quote says, losing your life is not the worst thing that can happen to you. What's the worst thing that can happen to you? The worst thing that can happen to you is lose your reason for living. To lose your reason for living. To lose the reason for getting up in the morning. That's worse than dying. In fact, for many people, death is just a release from all of the pain and the suffering and the despair that they face in life. Well, I want to let you guys know something. The Lord Jesus Christ has the power to give life. The Lord Jesus Christ has the power to give everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ said to you and to me, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And because he has the power to give life, that in and of itself gives you hope, no matter how bad your circumstances are. I know things get bad for us. I mean, you lose a job, you lose a loved one, you lose a house. And you think that you got nothing to look forward to in life. But Jesus gives hope. That's what's so wonderful about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He don't give discouragement. He doesn't give hopelessness. He gives hope. And I want to encourage you to hold on tight to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to look at this story. And in this story, I'm going to look at three scenes in this story to show us how the Lord Jesus Christ gives us hope. Hopefully, as you look at this, you'll look at your own life and realize that the Lord has not forgotten you and he has hope out there for you too. Well, let's look at this widow's condition. You know, Jesus is coming to town. You see this widow, right? And notice she's a widow. Y'all know what a widow is, right? By the way, do we have any widows in the house? Any widows in the house? Amen. No shame. Widows or widowers, no shame to that. All right? You're not alone. But this widow, she's in a difficult condition, you guys. You know why her situation is difficult? Because not only does she doesn't have a husband. She lost her support. She lost the breadwinner of the house. And in her day, she didn't have Social Security, to take care of her. She ain't going to get no check from the government to buy her food and to pay her rent and to take care of her. She's out of luck when you lose the breadwinner. So she had a difficult condition, but she also had a desperate condition because, like I said, there were no social programs for her. And usually in ancient times, you know what widows did? You know what widows and orphans did to make a living? They gleaned other people's fields. They gleaned fields. So that's why God told the Israelites, You know, don't take all the wheat off your field, and don't take all the olives off your tree, and don't put all the grapes out your grapevine, man. Leave some there for the widow and for the orphan and for the stranger, so that they can come and glean your fields and have something to eat. And God said, if you do that, I'll bless you. But now if you get stingy on me, you know, God knows how to be stingy too, y'all. Y'all want to be stingy? God said, okay, I'm going to show you what it means to be stingy. So I advise everybody to be as compassionate and to be as loving as you possibly can, so that you don't anger the Lord, who said, oh, so that's how you want to do, huh? And he come after you for having a nasty attitude of stinginess. That makes sense, everybody. So she had a difficult condition. She had a desperate condition. But not only was she a widow, she lost her only son. Now I don't know. Maybe there's somebody in here who has lost an only son. I don't know how painful that is. But for a mother, I don't wish this on any mother. I know some mothers, you know, in my ministry around St. Louis who have lost their son. And they've lost their son through violence, and they lost their son through who knows what means. And I cannot even imagine the pain that a woman would go through losing, not just losing one kid, losing her only son. That's a double blow to her life. Here's a double blow. Husband's gone, but my only child, the only means of life that I have, he's gone too. I have nothing. I have nothing. And so this was a devastating blow, you know, to her. There's nothing more devastating than the loss of a child. You know, when my children were born, I remember when Stephen was born and he was in his crib. Can y'all identify with me, some of you mothers? I kept looking over the crib because I was scared. Brother Smith, you shouldn't be. But I was worried that something might happen to him because, see, I never felt like that before because I didn't have children before. But once I had a child, and then I was worried, you know, about what might happen to him. And then a daughter next. And you want to know a secret, y'all? They're grown now. They're grown on their own. But I still worry in a sense of what might happen to them. I still want them to be safe and protected from hurt, huh? Do you guys feel like that? So I'm not the only one that feel like that. This was a devastating blow to her, to lose her only son. And by the way, her son was not a kid. Her son was grown. This boy was grown. So he was her breadwinner because his daddy was gone. And so this was a double blow. It was a devastating blow, but it was also a depressing blow for this lady because, you know, look, the grief that she has, I can't imagine. The grief of the loss of a husband, the grief of a loss of your only son, and then the uncertainty of what your future is going. What am I going to do now? Any of y'all ever been in a situation like that? What am I going to do now? I lost my job. Now what am I going to do? They're kicking me out of my apartment. They're kicking me out of my house. What am I going to do now? But you know, one more thing about this widow, looking at her condition, she was looked upon as cursed by God. And by the way, y'all got to be very careful when you have a smart remark about somebody's misfortune, because it can happen to you. And the bad thing about this is that, you know, the people had a false implication about this widow. They said that the people believe, well, you know, you must have done something really bad to get God's anger riled up at you. The reason why you lost your husband and the reason why you lost your son and don't have any more income is because you must have sinned a sin that was so hideous, that was so bad, that God whacked you. Whack! Take that, you sinner! Now, y'all would never think like that when somebody has misfortune, right? Y'all would never say that. And even if you want to, don't do it. You never know, you know, because you could be next. You know, the disciples thought that too. Remember, they came to Jesus with the man that was born blind. Remember what they said? You know, Jesus, they said, Master, who sinned? Because he wasn't born blind for nothing. It's the result of God getting him for sin. Who sinned? Did his mama sin or did he sin? That he was born blind. And by the way, that implies that you can sin in your mama's womb. I don't know how that can happen. Maybe some of you mothers might think, yeah, he's acting up in there. All that kicking and wallowing up in there. And not only was she did she have false, you know, social smart remarks leveled at her, but she's also the victim of isolation, false intimidation, because the people now, they looked upon her as suspicious. So we don't want to be around somebody that got cursed by God. And usually, by the way, you guys, have you noticed this? Sometimes when bad things happen to people, we tend to isolate ourselves from them, separate from them, because, you know, we don't know how to handle what they're going through. So we just isolate themselves. You know, everybody needs a kind word at some point in their life. This widow was filled with grief. She was filled with loneliness. She was filled with despair. She had an uncertain future. I mean, her life was just messed up. I got an interesting PowerPoint. Now show that next one, that next slide. There she is. Imagine what somebody is going through when they go through this type of stress and despair in their lives. But this brings me to the second scene. The first scene I wanted to look at is I just wanted to look at the widow's condition. And you know, all of us are like that, and some of us are like that widow. Some of us have despair in our life. Maybe somebody in here right now has despair. Bad things have happened to you, things that you didn't like that you could not control. And now you are frustrated, you're angry at God. One thing I've learned is there's a lot of folk who call themselves Christians who stop going to church because they are mad at God, angry at God because something went down in their lives that they don't like. And maybe there's somebody in here who's angry at God for something. Maybe you're angry because you didn't get that promotion. You're angry because a loved one died. You're angry because you didn't get that house or that car or something, whatever it is. You're angry and you're in despair because of that anger. Maybe that's you, like this widow. And God is speaking to you right now. This morning, you know, the Lord will show compassion to those of us who are facing despair, just like he showed compassion to this widow. Look at what we got here. Look at our text. Now, it happened the day after that Jesus went, and it was not an accident that Jesus goes into her town of Nain. That was no accident. By the way, y'all, Jesus does not do things by accident. He does things on purpose. And when he went in there, remember, he had a crowd of people. He had his disciples were there, and he had a crowd of people. You know why that crowd of people was with Jesus? Because the day before, he had healed the centurion's servant. He healed the centurion's servant. And so people are ooh and ahhing over that. And so here they are following Jesus, and so he walks, you know, he's walks to Nain. By the way, Nain is about 25 or so miles from Capernaum, so it'll take you all day just to walk there. So by the time Jesus gets there, it's in the afternoon or sometime, and when he gets there, he sees this funeral procession. Y'all seen funeral processions, haven't you? You've been in them yourself, haven't you? And by the way, you know, notice in ancient times, when you go into a funeral procession, you just join it. You join it. When you walk into town and there's a funeral going on, you just naturally join it out of respect for the family. Now, we have the same kind of attitude today. I don't know that if you see a funeral, you're supposed to respect. Don't you supposed to respect the dead? And Brother Smith right about that? Now, y'all, when y'all see a funeral procession going on, y'all not gonna cut into the funeral because you're in a hurry to get where you're going. You're not going to cut your neck. And then, you're not going to do that, are you? I know people have done that now. I don't know about you, but I've been in funerals where folk will cut in and weaving in and out of a funeral. You know my attitude. You know my attitude about that is so disrespectful. And you know why that's disrespectful? Because one of these days, they're going to have one for your family member. And you don't want nobody disrespecting you. So if you don't want to get disrespected, don't give disrespect. Does that make sense, y'all? And so Jesus, he joins in to the funeral, and he sees the mother, and he when he goes to the mother, the text says that when he saw her, he saw the mother, because mothers, they're dressed in black, you know, widow black, and sure enough, she had a reason to wear black too, because she lost everything. And he said to her, listen to what he says to her, "Do not weep." Now, isn't that interesting? Why are you going to tell somebody at a funeral, don't weep? That's like we having a funeral right here, and I say to you, your loved one laying, and I say to you, don't cry about it, don't weep. That is so unfeeling. Wouldn't that be unfeeling? Why not weep? She lost her son. Why not weep? You lost your husband, you lost your son, you don't have a future. You're gonna be living on scraps, other people's scraps, for the rest of your life. Well, you got a lot to cry about. But when Jesus says don't weep, it's only because he's gonna do something about what's making you weep. When Jesus says don't weep, it's because he's going to do something about what it is that's making you weep. Jesus knows how to bring comfort to you in your time of despair, in your time of frustration. We just need to learn how to hold on to Jesus no matter what our circumstances look like. Now look at the character of his compassion. I looked at the circumstances of his compassion. Let me look at compassion. You know what compassion means? When we have compassion, it means that you sympathize. You sympathize with somebody else's distress. You sympathize with somebody else's distress. And you know what's interesting about this? The widow, I don't know if the widow even knew Jesus was there. You understand what I'm saying? I don't even think she knew Jesus was there. She is so into her grief, into her sorrow, I don't think she even recognized that he was there. And since she didn't recognize that he was there, she didn't ask Jesus for nothing. Did she ask Jesus for anything, y'all? She didn't, and nobody else asked Jesus for nothing either. He was just there. And notice something. Jesus, of his own free will, without being asked, showed compassion to this lady. Let me just share something with you. Compassion is grace. Compassion is based on, so you can't demand compassion. Lord, I demand compassion. You're going to get yourself in trouble. You don't demand nothing from the Lord. Y'all do know that, right? Because God don't owe you nothing. Not even the next breath that you take, God don't owe you nothing. Lesson number one, that's what we got to learn. God don't owe me nothing. So everything that he does give you is based on grace. He's so gracious to y'all. I mean, you know, think about it. God has been more than gracious, you know, to all of us, you know, here this morning. God has blessed you in ways that you probably even forgot. You probably forgot most a lot of the ways that God has been have shown you compassion, has been gracious to you. And every now and then I remember the big ones. Like when I was driving my car on an icy road, and all of a sudden I hit an ice spot, and the car swerved around, and here I am terrified in the car trying to get some kind of control, and finally I get control, and my heart is beating, boom, 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 and I go, oh, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I remember stuff like that. Those are, I call the big things, but the little things. The little things, many of them I forget, but God has been so, so good to me and to you and so compassionate. Now look how Jesus healed. Look what Jesus did. I'm looking at the conduct of his compassion. Look what he first of all, he tells a woman, you know, don't weep. And then what he does next, it's interesting. What he does next is he goes and he touches the coffin. Hey, by the way, any of you guys in here afraid to touch dead bodies? Is that okay with y'all to touch a dead body? Can y'all do that? Y'all? No? Now, maybe if you're a nurse, you can. Man, y'all scared to touch dead bodies just like I'm scared. Just tell the truth. Jesus went and he touched it, and the possession, it stopped. Now, for a Jew, to touch a dead body would make you automatically unclean. It make you unclean because Jews don't, you know, you don't touch dead bodies. And if you do because you have to, you would be unclean for 7 days, which means you can't go and worship God for 7 days because you touched a dead body. I want to tell you something about Jesus. You don't make him unclean. He makes you clean. No matter how dirty you think you are, one touch from Jesus will cleanse you. And you won't dirty him one bit. He's that holy. He is that holy. So he touches the body, and I like that. And he says to the man, now this you better have your stuff together. Because he says to the body in front of everybody, young man, I say unto thee, rise. Now, if Jesus is a fraud, that body would stay in that coffin, and folks said, what in the world are you doing? Are you crazy? That's because when Jesus says, young man, I said arise, Jesus is confident in himself. He knows who he is. He knows what he can do. And when Jesus speaks, things happen. All Jesus has to do is speak to your situation. That's what he has to do, is speak. And what he's doing to you and me is encouraging us. He's telling us, don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't fret. I got you. Do y'all believe that? Do you believe that Jesus has you? Because you know what, y'all? Words have power to them. Even the words that you give are powerful. You can encourage somebody or you can discourage somebody. You can comfort somebody and build them up, or you can tear somebody down where they're unable to get back up because you said something ugly to them. All right? And so you and I, we have to be careful what we say to people. Words hurt, and when you send them out, you can't take them back because they've already done their damage. You know that boy, he set up. He set up. And not only did he set up, just so y'all know that he's alive, he started talking. You know, how y'all doing? Where y'all taking me? What am I doing wrapped up in all this stuff? Now get this stuff off me. I mean, he started talking to them. Now, if you ever went to a funeral and the deceased got up in the casket, if you like me, I don't think you stay hang around a funeral too long. Now you got a choice, but now you got a choice. You got a choice as you look at, as you listen to, you got a choice here. You can say that boy wasn't dead in the first place. He was just knocked out. That boy wasn't dead. And so when Jesus said, little boy, rise, he spoke loud enough for the boy to hear him and he woke up. He wasn't dead. You know, that's because we think people in the ancient times are stupid. They know the difference. They know when somebody's dead and when they're alive. They wouldn't have wrapped him up. It'd take time to wrap somebody up. They wouldn't have wrapped him up and put him in that casket and took him to the graveyard if he was still breathing. They knew he was dead. They knew how to check things, you know, make sure he's dead. The boy was dead. And when Jesus raised him up from the dead, it tells you several things about Jesus. Number one, he has the power over life and death. With his very word, he has the power and he has authority. He has authority over life and death. Secondly, he is confident. He is confident in who he is. Jesus is not sitting around in heaven talking about, ooh, I wonder who I am. Am I able to give all these folk everlasting life? Can I really have a home for all you people? There's a whole lot of folk down here. Do I have enough resources in heaven, you know, for all you folk here? Let me give y'all a hint. Jesus can give every person that has ever lived on this planet an entire galaxy and still have room left over. He ain't gonna run out of nothing. And now I want you to know something. I want you to know this too. Just wait on the Lord, you guys. Just wait. When you're going through difficulty, just wait. Just wait them out. Because all the Lord has to do is speak to your situation, and your situation will be corrected. It will be healed. It will be made all right. Just wait. Don't panic. Don't freak out. Don't get mad at God, no matter what you're going through. Just wait on the Lord. Wait him out. He knows what you're going through. Sometimes the Lord allows us to go through things just so that we can learn to trust him. See, we think we trust the Lord. It's easy to trust the Lord when everything is going all right in your life. But when things go crazy, that's when you find out if you really trust in the Lord. Wait on him, y'all. Just wait. And again, I say, wait on the Lord. Let me just say one more thing. Just in case somebody wants to complain against the Lord. Because somebody look at this story and say, you know, Jesus, he didn't help my mama. My mama died and Jesus wasn't there for me. And Jesus didn't help me in my situation. I lost my job and now I got another job that doesn't pay as much as that the job I lost. Where was Jesus? You hear this a lot. Where is Jesus at? He's right there. But for you, I want you to consider something. Jesus didn't stop his death. He could have stopped his death, but he didn't stop his death. He could have stopped them guys from arresting him. In fact, you know, when you read the story, when they came to arrest Jesus, remember, they fell down. They fell down. Now, after you get up, after falling down, you would have thought, maybe I should reconsider arresting this man. But so they arrested him anyway. He didn't stop his arrest. He didn't stop the kangaroo court that he went to. He didn't stop that. He didn't stop the abuse that he got. You know, they smacked Jesus around. He didn't stop the beating that he got. He took that beating for you. He didn't stop them putting those nails in his hands and in his feet and raising him on the cross. He did not stop his death. He took it all the way. And even when he went, even when he was in the garden and he asked, Father, take this cup from me. Remember, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I am dying for the sins of mankind because I choose to, and number two, because it fulfills the will of my Father in heaven. So before you get mad at Jesus for some nicky-pick stuff that you're going through, remember what he went through for you. Remember what he went through for you, and remember what he has for you. And let that encourage you. Now the crowd, when they saw this, I call this the crowd's commentary. You got the widow's condition, you got Jesus' compassion, and then you got the commentary from the crowd, the crowd's commentary. Because you see, when Jesus does something, you hear it and you look at it, then you got to make a decision of what you're going to do with the information. You have to decide, what am I going to do with this? And so the crowd, they have to decide, what am I going to do with this? Jesus just raised this boy from the dead and gave him back to his mama and gave her hope and a future to look forward to. So what am I going to do with this? Well, the crowd, fear came upon them. And that word fear in that passage, it don't mean that they were scared of Jesus. It means that they were at awe. They were amazed at what they just got through seeing. See, my problem is a lot of people are amazed at Jesus. They like his miracles. They like the things that Jesus has done, but they have not put their trust in him as their Savior. You know, a lot of people like Jesus, but they don't trust Jesus because they are afraid to put their trust in him, to put their eternal destiny in his hand. I like you, Jesus. You a nice fella, but I'll get to heaven my own way. Thank you very much. Well, if you're trying to get into heaven your own way, listen to me. You're not going to make it because you're not good enough. Another reaction from the crowd, a lot of people glorified God. People looked at it and they praised God. They said, "Ooh, wow, a great prophet has arisen among us, a great prophet." And by the way, the miracle of raising this widow's son reminded them of when Elijah raised the son of the widow of Zarephath. That's in the Bible, that's in the Old Testament. The king, you know, there was a prophet who raised a widow's son from the dead too. And the people remembered the story when Jesus raised this boy. They remembered that and they said, a prophet. But that's all they saw Jesus as, is a prophet. See, some people, that's their problem. They see Jesus as a good man. They see Jesus as a good teacher. They see Jesus as a prophet. And that's all they see Jesus. I want you to know something. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the second person of the Godhead. He is God. And he who is God came down from heaven. And he became man in the incarnation. And when Jesus became man, he did not cease being God. He was still God. That little baby in the manger was God Almighty, the creator of the universe. This Jesus died on the cross for your sins. This Jesus is more than an ordinary man. This Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of mankind, and he is waiting on you to recognize who he is. You saw you heard the story. You heard people talk about Jesus, but you have to recognize Jesus for who he is. And until you do, you'll never accept him as your Savior. Amen. So what are you going to do with Jesus? Some were awed, some glorified him, and other people told. They went, "Ooh, did you see? You should have been in name." Well, what happened in name? Ain't nothing no big. Man, Jesus, the rabbi Jesus was there, and he raised this boy. They were taking him out, you know, they were taking him out to the funeral, to the graveyard, and he raised that boy from the dead. You lying. No, man, I wasn't the only one that was there. There were a whole lot of people that were there. They can confirm my story. And so everybody else is listening to what Jesus did. Now, they weren't there, but they're hearing the report. And now those who hear the report, just like you are hearing the report, because you weren't there either. You weren't in the city of Nain when Jesus raised that boy from the dead. You weren't on Mount Calvary when Jesus died on the cross. You weren't at the tomb when he rose again from the dead. You weren't there when he ascended up into heaven. You hear the report just like I've heard the report. And now you got to make up your mind. And number one, is the report true? And number two, what do I do with Jesus? Do I accept him as my Savior? Or do I say all them people are nutcases and reject the Lord Jesus Christ? And you go on with your life with the despair and the frustration and the hopelessness that you walked into this life with. Many people have heard about Jesus, but they haven't put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have just heard about Jesus this morning. You know, you have heard about what he can do. You know that he has the authority and the power over life. He can raise somebody from the dead. And you're probably asking, what can Jesus do for me? Number one, he can forgive you of your sins. Number two, he can grant you everlasting life. And number three, he can give you hope. Hope. Right now, he can give you hope so that no matter what you are facing in this life today, your hope is in the Lord, and you can hold on and you can be patient no matter what you're going through, because you are going to go through some stuff. I guarantee you, some of you are already going through some stuff, and you're probably wondering where Jesus is. Well, he's right there by your side, waiting on you to turn to him in faith and acknowledge him as your Savior and as your Lord. Now, what about you this morning? How many times do you have to hear the story about Jesus? How many times do you have to hear the gospel before you make up your mind to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what? You might not get another chance. This may be the last time you hear about Jesus. So if you haven't put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today, right now, is the time to do so. Won't you come to Jesus, the one who has authority over life and death, the one who can give you hope and peace and joy, the one who can give you victory over whatever you are going through? Won't you cry out and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ right now? I'm serious, because I know what Jesus can do. Because I have experienced his blessings in my life. But you have to experience Jesus in your life. You have to make up your mind to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do, you will become my brother and sister in Christ. You will become a citizen of heaven. You will be an heir and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has more than enough for everybody, you know, to share. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, for this miracle that we looked at, the healing of the widow of Nun's named son. You show us your power, but you've also shown us your compassion. And you are willing to show compassion to anyone who will come to you in faith. May nobody leave here this morning without having put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.